calling back House Bill 5042, which is the Water Resources Department budget. And in order for everyone to kind of get a bead on where we're at, I will first turn the proceedings over to John Fletcher, our legislative fiscal officer, to bring us up to date on, or bring our memories back on where we are with this bill and why we're bringing it back.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. John Fletcher, Legislative Fiscal Office. Back in February, on February 22nd, this subcommittee had a public hearing and work session on the water resources budget and, in fact, passed the budget out. What I have done in a packet here that you have before you, it shows that original recommendation, and then I've made some highlighted changes and cross-outs, and we will show you what maybe changes we'd like you to consider today. But back in February, the budget was passed out, and included in that budget was an extensive budget note. And the budget note essentially had to do with the two certificate positions that were not funded in the governor's budget that you wanted included. At that time, however, the co-chair rules were that budgets couldn't really be accepted with additions above and beyond the governor's budget until such time we had the revenue forecast and knew where we stood with revenues. And so they had an add back list, and the two certificate positions were going to go on that add back list. And the budget note directed the department that in the event that those certificate positions were not funded, that they be funded from the stewardship and supply package, which was included in the budget. So it was a complicated budget note that was included to express your preferences about how you wanted those certificate positions restored first, and then the stewardship and supply to follow. Actually, you wanted both, but that was the order in which you wanted it to happen. We now have a new permission, I guess, from the co-chairs to move the budget through differently in a less complicated way, I think, without the budget note, and that would be to just include the two certificate positions in the budget and put the stewardship and supply package on the add back list and have that be funded in as revenue permits, I guess, as we see what the revenue forecast and available revenues are. It would be considered along with others on the add back list. The meeting today, the reason the budget's before you again, is to see if that kind of a proposal would work. And so if you'll look on page 2 of the handout, this will show in bold the changes. First of all, the committee added the reclass for the OEB financial support, and this is no change, but it's a change from what the LFO original recommendation was, so that's in bold. Package 090 is the certificate positions, 2 FTE at $209,788 general fund, and that's added back, and it was not in the governor's budget. Package 150, the stewardship and supply initiative, this change would not include that in the budget, but put it on the add back list at a reduced level. And this was the level that was approved by the subcommittee previously at $250,000 general fund and $250,000 other funds for a total of $500,000. And these, and 2 FTE, which would be limited duration positions. Those are the only changes from the subcommittee recommendation back in February that we're proposing at this time, and that's so that it can be considered by full ways and means and move through. If we don't do that, I think we'll be on a hold position until after the revenue forecast.
Madam Chair?
Representative Crump.
Two questions. Number one is regarding package 111, What's the justification for the reclass and OWEB financial support?
This reclass was essentially to establish the position at an accounting level. This person is doing not just office support for OWEB, but they're doing the books, so to speak. They are taking care of more funds and financial issues than originally was the case. It's expanded, and so we're recommending a reclass to bring that position up to the correct accounting classification. And these funds are provided from OWEB, I understand. So it is not...
It's actually lottery money.
Okay, and Madam Chair, a second question. Package 090, water rights and adjudication. I'm assuming that we're going in that direction because part of the problem that we're having in this state is the climate basin problem, and this will have some impact on that. Is that my understanding correct?
Representative Culp, if you'll recall the discussions that we had in this committee when we actually heard the budget presentation, which was some time ago, the discussion centered around the committee's desire to get the certifications that were outstanding in the system through the system and completed. And we put a higher priority on that process rather than repackaging the information that was available in the stewardship and supply program, getting that information ready to go on a website. But because of the rule that the co-chairs had, we weren't able to add packages back into the budget that weren't in the governor's recommended budget, and the positions for certification were not in the governor's recommended budget. The stewardship and supply program was in the governor's recommended budget. So what the committee chose to do was to leave the stewardship and supply in the budget, put the certification positions on the add-back list, and wait until we got the revenue forecast before we sent the budget through to see whether we would have to bring it back and amend it, or whether we could fund both, or whether we could send it through the way that it is. The co-chairs have since become concerned with the number of budgets that are hung up in the system waiting for things like this, and have given us permission to put the priorities into the bill the way that the committee wanted them to be, which is the proposal that we're bringing to you today, that we put the certification positions in the budget and put the stewardship and supply positions on the add-back list and move the budget through.
Okay, Madam Chair, so then I am understanding correctly that 090 on the proposal does help benefit adjudication process in the Klamath Basin. Is that correct?
It will help move the water right certification process faster ahead.
Everywhere
in the state. Now, there also is in here Package 160, which we also approved the first time we heard the budget, that puts $500,000 of general fund into Klamath Basin adjudication to moving those issues forward.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I'm okay with these. I probably am not going to be okay with an add back later on the stewardship and supply portion. But on 111 and 090, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions?
A question to clarify. I thought I heard either you or Mr. Fletcher say that the funding in Package 111 was other funds, but it's listed here as general fund.
No, it's other funds? Okay, so this is incorrect as listed. It should be other funds.
Then, Madam Chair, if I might further clarify that, is that other funds only because it originates at OWEB, and OWEB gets it as general fund?
No, they get it as lottery funds.
Lottery 66.
They don't get 66 funds.
Thanks.
Excellent point. Further questions or comments from the committee? The chair will accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation. Oh, that's a good idea. We will go into work session. And the chair will accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation with the other fund amendment in it. It's been moved to accept LFO's recommendation as amended. Any objections?
Yes.
Representative Nolan, any objection?
I object because I voted for this the first time, but that was 2 months ago, before we had the March forecast, and when there was some reason to anticipate that other important budgets would move through the system as well. We haven't held or scheduled a single hearing on the K through 12 budget. And since this budget requires general fund money, I'm not going to support it until we hear the K through 12 budget.
Your objection is so noted. And with your objection noted, the bill is passed. Well, do we need to do the changes in the...
We just need carriers at this point.
Okay.
You'll probably need a different carrier, Madam Chair.
Oh, no, I've carried bills. I voted against.
That's a lot of fun. If the chair would be willing, I'd be happy to speak.
Sure.
Representative Nolan, I can't. I don't have to voted against this. I should really not have you carried on the House floor.
Yes, Senator Perry.
Representative Lowe, would you carry this on the House floor?
Oh, God. I was just getting ready to tell you the bad news. Is it probably would be a great idea to. Have a better picture, since we're getting so close to the end now.
Okay.
Of what the budget is.
The good thing about carrying these bills is that the department writes your speeches.
Well, in that event, actually, I'm happy to carry it. You did assign me one earlier this week, but I think Nolan's got a point about it. Would sure be nice to know. So whatever pressure you guys might put on the powers that be. To let us know. Senator Farrelly is waving and smiling. So.
Well, we're all waiting for the revenue forecast, which comes first to my committee and the Senate revenue. And I have volunteered numerous times to lie about the revenue forecast to make sufficient funds available to do everything we need to do this session. But it's just the idea that in many sessions we get down to that point where people start to get really nervous about the budget, but the more we delay passing these budgets, the bigger the crunch at the end. And
I know.
It just gets really crazy, because what we'll end up doing is working nights and weekends to get the budgets passed. And
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to carry this, but we already are working nights from 8 o'clock yesterday to 8 o'clock yesterday night. I figured out I was getting 54 cents an hour.
I keep saying the minimum wage bill here for the legislators would be good.
No, it's minimal wage. Yeah. That's what you're getting. Anyway, Madam Chairman, I guess the idea was that every time we get here, it's always on K-12. I haven't heard anybody walk away from the commitments that were made earlier. The funding formula is moving through the system. As soon as the revenue forecast is in, we plug the money in, and hopefully we all walk out of here with the feeling that we accomplished something.
Representative Hayden.
Not to rain on anybody's parade, Madam Chair, but I think that budgets should stand or fall on their own merits.
I think that your words are very wise, Representative Hayden, and I think that all of us realize that if we end up with a revenue forecast in May that makes it clear that we've made some bad decisions, we can evaluate those decisions again. But I think that Senator Farrelly's position is well taken, that there is so much going on at the end of the session. The more of these things that are relatively straightforward that we can clear out of the process so that we can get into the discussions on the complex things, the better off we're going to be when we get down to the crunch. Representative Nolan.
Just to clarify my position, I'm not at all opposed to moving budgets through the system. I just think we need to deal with the K through 12 budget first.
Well, and with that, I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2862 relating to commercial fisheries. And we have a change in guard here. Most of the people aren't leaving.
Now the dogs are green.
Lights, this is a bill that was referred to us out of the Salmon Committee. And the first thing I'll do is have Mr. Rocco review the bill for us and discuss the fiscal impact. And we do have public testimony on the bill this afternoon.
Madam Chair, this bill, House Bill 2862, creates a commercial fisheries permit buyback fund in anticipation of the state getting federal monies to buy back commercial fishing permits, primarily in the groundfish sector. The bill came to the committee from the House Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery. It's come to our attention that since the bill was passed out of that committee, there are some changes that I think are going to be talked with the committee about today. The fiscal impact is, I provided you with a staff measure summary from the House committee and the fiscal impact. The fiscal impact is basically indeterminate at this time because the there is no guarantee that federal funds will be provided to do this. And the bill also establishes several a fee, permission of the commission to establish fees, and the amount of those fees are not known at this point. And as the committee probably knows by now, that any time an amendment is proposed to a substantive bill, the Ways and Means Subcommittee can adopt those kinds of amendments with the concurrence of the chair of the substantive committee from which the bill has come, or the bill can be referred back to that committee to have action taken on amendments. So today we're here to have a public hearing on this bill and a work session if that is decided by the chair to continue into work session.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Are there any questions of the committee members for Mr. Rocco's concise presentation?
Madam Chair, what does the amendment do?
We will have Terry Thompson come forward and explain that, but if it
one-page bill, so I figured.
Is first of all have Representative Brown come forward because he's on a very tight time schedule to.
Could I, Madam Chair, could I have some of the people in Newport come along with me also, and then I'll say my piece
yes.
And move on down. Thank you,
welcome.
Madam Chair and members of the committee. I spend most of my time down at the other end of the hall where we spend money, so it's interesting to get up this end where you folks make money. Thank you. Anyway, this House Bill 2862 was sponsored by former Representative Thompson to create a fund to buy it for the buyback of the ground fishery permits and boats. And I signed on as a sponsor, as did Senator Dukes and Representative Crager. And the bill, this is something that needs to be done. But after it went through Representative Jensen's committee, it came to my attention that there's some real potential problems with the bill that needed to be fixed before it went on any further through the process. Some of the local fishermen had contacted me over the last week or so and expressed to me some of their concerns regarding the lack of a specific fee being specified and fairly open-ended, and their concerns about that. And they felt there needed to be some clarification regarding the other fisheries that were going to participate in the buyback of the ground fishery permits. It also involves troll salmon and pink shrimp fishery and the Dungeness crab fishery. And so I'm here today to let have these people, the commercial fishermen that will come over with me, and former Representative Thompson explain to you just exactly what some of their problems are, and request that this be re-referred back to the Stream Restoration and Species Recovery Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Thompson, would you like to take it from here?
Thank you, former Representative Terry Thompson. Original, first of all, I represent my boats in this issue, and at this point, so you need to know who I'm representing here. When I brought this bill forward, it was because I'd worked in Washington, D.C. with Wyden's office and with the trawl group out of California to establish a buyback system of which all the agencies have been a part in trying to move forward to reduce the amount of trawl catch. The reason why the government has participated, and I wrote down three reasons here just off the top of my head, why the federal government is willing to participate in, is first, the changes in the Magnuson Act have reduced the amount of allowable catch of ground fish on the West Coast and put the fisheries in a depressed state. Secondly, and that includes the changes in the Endangered Species Act too, there's several things here. Secondly, there was a recommendation made to buy back vessels at a certain point years ago, to put in limited entry, years ago, and the Department of Commerce drugged their feet. For 2 years, they didn't get it in the Federal Registry. There was also another recommendation to the Department of Commerce by the trawl industry through the council system that we develop a limited entry system which was to be purchased by catcher processors if they wanted to participate in the West Coast ground fishery. That went to the Department of Commerce and changed. So there is reasons why the federal government has participated in this surplus of vessels participating in the ground fish fishery. Consequently, and this, if you've got this data in front of you, you received this. This is the latest. This is 11 o'clock. Today I received this information, and this is more than you probably ever wanted to know about buyback. But consequently, the proposal on the board now through Wyden's office is $50 million. In order to create a place in our financial system for that money to go and for fishermen to take part of their poundage fee, you have to put $1 into a fund, which the bill that I brought forward creates. Now, and I don't blame some of the fishermen. I had no idea there was fishermen that was upset in this area when I brought the bill forward and brought it down here. But they had none of the information you have in your hands. And so with the insecurity of what the regulations were, they were worried that crabbers, shrimpers, and salmon trawlers were going to buy out trawlers. That was never the intention. What I did was create an amendment to House Bill 2862, which clarified the fact that only crabbers would buy out trawl permits, trawl vessels that had salmon trawl permits on it. Only that portion would be used. More or less, if a trawl boat was participating in the crab fishery and the salmon fishery, that those permits for the salmon fishery would only be purchased by participants in the salmon fishery itself that are left over. Now, Joan, you're looking at me like I...
Madam Chair, it's because we had this conversation when I signed on to this bill. I fully support buybacks for the trawl industry. Ground fishery. No problems with that at all. What I do object to is that the notion that if you're going to buy back a ground fish permit, that you're also going to buy back a crab permit and a shrimp permit and all the rest of the permits that they own. And I don't believe that in that. I believe that the fishery that's having the problem that we're addressing is the ground fishery. And we should address that. and the shrimp fishery, the crab fishery, some of these other fisheries are healthy, and we've done put all the parameters we possibly can around the salmon fishery, leave those alone. It's there. You got a group of people out there saying, I want fewer fishermen in my fishery, so if you're going to buy their ground fishery permit, you better buy all the rest of their permits. The agency will hold those permits, and then I'll have less competition in my fishery, and that I object to. And I'm looking through this thing, and it's, according to what you've got here for the buyback proposal, it's got a section for associated state permits. You're going to have less money to buy back the ground fishery permits if you do that, and I think it's a mistake.
I apologize for not using the term Senator Dukes. It's
that's okay. We're way past that.
The problem lies in that the fishery and what has been proposed is to buy out the vessels in the trawl permit. And those vessels will own associated state permits. So what happens if you don't buy out the vessel, they go to the state fishery. If you buy out the trawl permit, and you buy out the vessel, then those state permits just go away for nothing?
But the feds aren't requiring that we buy back the boats. I mean, the feds will allow us, at least from Washington State, go through two buybacks, will allow us to structure ours. I mean, they're not quite as free as they used to be, thank heaven, but they'll allow us to structure ours. And I agree we should buy back the vessels, but I don't see that as critical to this whole thing.
It will make a difference to the, excuse me,
to the fishery.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes. It will make a difference if you have a vessel that owns a shrimp permit and crab permit and a trawl permit. He will not sell if he owns those other permits and he doesn't receive something for them. He won't sell. A lot of them won't sell.
Then those other permits better become available on the market. I mean, the idea that we're going to say to the crabbers, we're going to buy up 10 crab permits, and ODFW is going to hold those permits and not sell them, therefore reducing the number of the crab fleet, I object to.
I'm not sure that we can carry this conversation on in private. This, anyway, the amendment is available,
I keep asking.
Which will clarify. And, copy of it. That was done to attempt to clarify the original bill and some.
Chair, I have a real question.
Senator Dukes, you have a follow-up.
Do we have some letter or something from the Patrol Commission and the whatever shrimp commission we've got out there and the Dungeness crab folks to know that they're okay? Oh, okay.
Okay,
I mean, it's unusual to charge one fishery for bailing out another, and so I just want to make sure that I've got a letter that says they're all okay with this.
Senator Dukes, and it is also the intent of the chair to re-refer this bill back to SR2 so that all of these issues can be addressed from the policy point of view.
Okay, and I think Representative Krieger's on that.
Remember, please, Andy, if you'll read the bill says that it goes to the Department of Fish and Wildlife to work out these problems. And that's why that Section 3 is in the bill, so that it can be worked out at the commission with the rule level so there's some flexibility.
We have also the department on the testimony list, so they're up and coming.
Chair Morgan.
To work them out ourselves.
Representative Krieger.
I've dealt with commercial fishermen since I was like 23 years old when I went on the state police. And in most instances, trying to get all of them to agree on everything is like herding chickens with a broom. They're great people. My son fished for 10 years. I do not want to see what happened with the salmon troll fleet through attrition. It was a brutal system. There was alcoholism, spousal abuse from frustrated men not being able to make a living. That was their way of life. I think we need to find a mechanism. People getting together, as you said, when they refer it back, get everybody at the table and make sure we come up with a system that takes care of the families and the industry too. And eventually we have to be working towards sustainability of those fisheries, and we don't really know all that yet. because we haven't put the money into research that we should have. So it's a very complex problem with no easy solution.
Representative Thompson and I served on the Salmon Committee together, and this is an issue that we dealt with in the last session, and this is an issue that we attempted to deal with in the interim before the deal fell apart on the federal level. And I think that all of us recognize that, personally myself, having gone through the listing of the spotted owl and the loss of federal lands from the timber industry and the attendant economic and social destruction that that caused, this is something that a lot of us have a lot of empathy for and clearly understand how hard it is to find an equitable resolution that will leave people financially and emotionally in stable positions. Representative Thompson, did we give you enough time to complete your testimony?
I would be glad to quit here. There's only one other comment I would like to make back to your comment. A lot of the money that came through that could have been spent in buyback was what started the Oregon Salmon Restoration Project. That was a choice of the state made. Other state of Washington used that for some of the buyback programs up there for their fisheries. None of that flowed through except for, I believe, to the gillnet fishery in the Columbia River, and I'm not even sure they received any.
Not Oregon gillnetters, no.
There was a choice that was made, and consequently it was very hard on that fishery when it collapsed. This will even be more difficult because the fishermen will be kept with the burden of a vessel, which is very large. These boats, at a minimum, would be about $40,000 a year just to tie them to the dock and to keep basic maintenance on them. And then if they have to be hauled out, you're looking at another $10,000 to $20,000. That number will, of course, change as to the size of the vessel. But it could be, you're not only going to be hurting as a family because of lack of fishery, you're also going to be burdened with a vessel that has no place to go unless you buy the vessel out or turn it in or sell it to some other country, because without being able to participate in this country, there's not much use for it.
Sir, we'd be very interested in what you have to say.
Yes, thank you. My name is Joe Rock. I'm a commercial fisherman. I've fished for 43 years. Like Terry, we started as boys and been in a fishery quite a while. I did about every kind of fishery you can think of, one way or the other. Most of them have been successful, some haven't. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for the chance to get here late. We're like the tail of the dog, the fisherman. We usually have to argue in the coffee shop for at least 3 weeks before we can come to consensus, which never happens. It makes interesting talk, anyway. I'm here about House Bill 2862, which we've been talking about down there. We've tried to get some information on the bill. We haven't been very successful. The buyback program is going to be funded by us, obviously, if this goes through. And we have some real serious problems about it. I fish crab and shrimp, tuna, and several other things. And crab's been pretty successful for us. It's a viable fishery that has the 3S system, we call it, size, sex, and species, and season. It makes the fishery viable, so it's a big money fishery. Right now, we finally put crabs where it belongs. We're up in the $2 range, and we're making a lobster type of fishery out of it. It's been very good for Oregon. This year wasn't so good, but this happens. It's cyclic. So I can understand why we're handy for the draggers to look at. We've got money. That's obvious what's going on. I don't know. We've been trying to follow the bill, but we haven't had a great deal of information. And it wasn't... We don't know about the fleshing out of the bill. There's a lot of questions here. Haven't been answered. A great many people I've talked to had no clue until 2 weeks ago what this was. And I hung up one of the first bills down at one of our local marine stores, which is kind of a gathering place. A lot of people were excited about it. You can imagine a mom-and-pop troller operation that this guy makes $10,000 or $15,000 a year. Now he's asked to buy out $1.5 million dragger. I mean, it's a little bit frightening when... These guys are paranoid already. They've been thinking that the draggers are catching all their fish midwater anyway, and now all of a sudden they're going to buy this guy out. You can see the ramifications of that. It'd be kind of exciting. Majority of the fishermen I spoke with have some reserves about this, but more importantly, even with their reserves, they need time to look at this. I got this paper from Terry at 11 o'clock, and And I'm not going to put Terry down, but he said, go ahead and read this and we can make a decision. I don't think I'm a bad reader. I can devour a book in short order, but I'll be damned if I can sit down in 15 minutes and figure this out. You know, I'm a knuckle dragger. I'm not a mathematician or, you know, a patriot or a politician. I don't know about that kind of stuff. All I know about is killing pig. When the backers of this bill asked some of the less overcapitalized industries to buy them out, I believe that pertinent data should be available more than 30 minutes ahead of time. Maybe this is bailout answers for the fishermen in this fishery. I don't know. It's overcapitalized. They knew going in, a lot of them, that they were getting way too far into this fishery for the amount of money. And what's happened now is that with the cutbacks that the groundfish program has come, it's a serious problem. And most of these guys have several permits. Not all of them have a patrol permit. And I would think it would be ridiculous to say that, well, we're going to buy out this 80-foot dragger and he's going to turn over his troll permit. I mean, does that give the guy incentive that's driving, him and his wife driving his boat up and down the different coastal ports that's making $15,000 incentive to buy out that? I don't think so, because I don't think that dragger's much of a threat. So that doesn't really wash with me. If this is the answer, I think the important thing is that we get time to look at it. And that was, personally, I don't think you're going to get the boats that are affecting our fisheries. And some of their argument is here that I'm a crab fisherman. And I've got these big boats that got crab permits. They're going to come and fish with me. Well, yeah, that's true. But I believe that if this dragger over here has a crab permit and you're going to ask him to sell his fish, his federal permit, sell his crab permit and all other permits so that you can 86 him and get rid of the boat and the problem, that he's not going to sell that crab permit. It's too valuable. If he's got a dragger, say a 75-foot dragger, he's got a crab permit and a drag permit, he can make it. Because he's going to turn his $400,000 a year dragon, and every once in a while he's going to have a $200,000 or $300,000 crab season. When he does, he's making money. So there's no reason for him to give this up. I don't believe the formula will work either. I think how do you come up with a formula to buy out a guy? Because, for instance, I have a friend of mine that's got a 117-foot Bering Sea boat, and they come to him and ask him about buyout, and they said, "Would you give us an idea?" So he said $8 million, and that sounds like a lot of money. But when you start looking at what a boat makes, that isn't a lot of money. And in order to buy these boats out, you're not going to buy them out for $150,000. I mean, what you're going to buy out at $150,000 is the guys that's not catching anything. Now, that's the honest fact. You're going to get the guys that are mediocre fishermen, they're hanging on, and they're not going to make it. And that's really what I believe. I think in time, they're going to take care of themselves. But right now, just to cut this short, what I would hope is that you would back this thing up a little bit, take a little bit of time, and give us a chance to devour some of this information. You just got it, so I'm sure that, you know, you're aware of it as I am, what's going on. Can you tell me what's in here? I don't think so. Let's just give it enough time so we can see if we can get it straightened out.
Questions or comments from the committee members? Senator Dukes.
You're absolutely right. When my name went on this bill, the attachments weren't part of it. The discussion was part of it, but not the attachments. This is a proposal by one group, and we heard their presentation down in San Diego. And it's only one group. And there are lots of opinions out there on this. What we actually need is, unfortunately, it can only be a resolution, but a resolution from this, from the legislature, requesting that the governor take the federal money that he gets and invest some of it in buybacks. We have overlooked the opportunity to do that twice. And the only individual who has stopped us from doing it is the governor, because he has sole discretion over where that money goes. And Washington State's moved forward with it. Personally, I think their first buyback was kind of worthless, but they did it. And they learned from it, and we learned from it. And the money will come, I assume. And instead of making the fishermen produce their own money to buy out a section of fishermen, if the federal government is willing to send flexible funding that could be used for that purpose to the state of Oregon, as they have in the past, I think we ought to be investing some of it in there.
Another good reason to re-refer the bill back into a policy committee. Mr. Thompson.
Please remember, the bill does create a place to put the money. In the other buybacks, we've never had a place to do it. And it will accomplish a lot of what we haven't been able to do in other buybacks. This bill doesn't establish the parameters. All it does is create the fund. Please try to keep that in mind.
Thank you. I have on my sign-up sheet, I'm sorry, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chairman, I do have questions for the panel.
Oh,
could we bring you back, Mr. Thompson, Mr. Brown, Mr. Rock? Could you come back? I'm sorry, I dismissed you before Senator Ferriola was done.
Well, don't ask me anything too hard.
Actually, you've invested, Madam Chairman, you've invested a lot of coffee in this proposal, and I'd like to get the benefit of all that caffeine you've expended in this thing. I've been trying to understand the situation that you've been facing, and I've had the benefit of listening to former Representative Thompson and Senator Dukes and others that represent the coastal areas, and I'm trying to get my arms around the issue of the fisheries. But you, I think, also need to try to get your arms around the problems that we have in this building. Levying taxes in areas where people are already broke doesn't produce any revenue. So, I mean, you can be fair until the cows come home, but if you don't produce any revenue, then there's nothing to buy out these permits and licenses with. So I can understand how everybody could look at the tax burden and say, we're being taxed, and it really isn't our issue, it's somebody else's issue. But unless we figure out a revenue stream, there's not enough money to do the job, and there's no way to leverage federal dollars that might come. And fisheries wax and wane. I mean, you know, ground fisheries in the next decade may rebound and be a significant contributor again. We've seen salmon fisheries come and go, and shrimp fisheries come and go, and crab fisheries come and go, and the capacity changes to follow that resource. But unless there's some mechanism to reduce capacity, they're all overfished. They're all overallocated. And so there's got to be some kind of a mechanism for balancing it. The trawler permits and the capacity, I think, exceeds the available fish. That's what the Pacific Fisheries Council has told us. And unless you do something about that, you know, some of the best operators will stay. You're exactly right. Some of the marginal operators will go if we do nothing. You're exactly right about that. The problem is a lot of the marginal operators are marginal just because of the size and the configurations of their boats. And many of those tend to be family-owned businesses. So I'm very sensitive, Madam Chairman, to what is being said about targeting the capacity to make it the most efficient. And maybe the bill at some point in time when it goes back to the substantive committee looks at buying out those things that have the greatest capacity first, making some kind of an efficiency statement. Don't look at just buying out the marginal operators, because it doesn't really get you very much in terms of the capacity you're trying to reduce. Maybe look at some of those larger capacity vessels and insist that they sell their capacity. And that's a difficult place to go, but if you only buy out the ones that are willing sellers, you really only will get the marginal operators. You know, and everybody's going to see a concentration of capacity up the food chain to the larger and larger vessels. So I guess, Madam Chairman, if anybody heard anything they want to argue with, and what I just said, I'd like to hear what the arguments are.
I didn't hear anything that I'd want to argue with. In fact, I'd agree with almost 100% of it. But the fishermen that I talked to that were concerned with this bill was the open-endedness of and not spelling out clearly what they were going to be on the hook for. Not so much that they disagreed with the intent and the purpose of it, but just how much is it going to cost me? You know, and it doesn't say that in the bill. And I know if it was me and I was a fisherman, I'd want to know.
I think that the other sideboard that's on this issue, and Senator Ferrioli alluded to it, is that we're at a place in the legislative session where the energy is now focused on shutting it down. And you don't have a lot of time to develop a perfect bill here, that you may want to just pay attention to the structural needs that you have and put enough sideboards on it that you've got the basket created to receive the money and the energy to carry forward and work the details out as you have time to do that. So I would caution the group to pay attention to the structural needs and the time frame, along with the other considerations.
And Madam Chairman, this is not the first gentleman to come into this building looking for certainty to go away disappointed. We don't deal with certainty very often in this place.
Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, as we do this too, there's terminology that these people talk about. Part of this, where we can go, depends on whether we do permit stacking and these, what, personal individual quotas, PIQs, is that what it is? Personal individual quotas, things of that nature.
IFQs.
Yeah. And some people are looking at me, what's that, you know? What's the Sebastius complex? Got one of those? what are you laughing about? But it is very complex, and it's going to take more than just one thing to get us there. But I was most relieved that Senator Farioli didn't talk about a potato trawler.
Representative Hayden.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Farioli has raised some good concepts and the difficulty of reaching equity in all of these. And one of the parameters that hasn't been discussed and is a huge issue that dwarfs this is the major 7 that is currently being debated in this building, the payback for lands that are not utilized because of various considerations. And many of those relate to fisheries. Many of those are wetlands and riparian zones and various kinds of woodlots and so on that that feed the fisheries, that feed the ocean, that feed our fish. And Max Williams, with his committee, is wrestling diligently with this in order to find the money to compensate those owners. So that's not only are we going to have the funding for this problem, but for the Measure 7 problem also. That's a huge issue. And yes. And we're all in it together. You know, it all intertwines. It's all intermixed. And no one single facet of it stands out by itself.
Thank you. Are there comments or questions for this panel? Thank you very much,
thank
gentlemen.
You.
And I have next on my list Mr. Mike Becker. Welcome,
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Becker.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mike Becker. I'm from Newport. I have several hats in this. I'm an insurance agent that insures probably the largest chunk of the boats on the West Coast. I also have a vessel that I troll salmon and Dungeness crab with. Senator Duke's fish is out of Warrenton in the wintertime.
Very good.
I have a lot of contacts up and down the coast with the fishing industry. This thing came upon us quite quickly. I found out about it approximately 10 days ago in talking with some fishermen and kind of carried it forward a little bit from there. There is real concern amongst the troll fleet, the Dungeness crab fleet, and the shrimp industry relative to the buyout portion of their funding. It really is something that has not been discussed or even brought to the attention of the industry until the last week. Senator Dukes, your point is very well taken when you talk about the letters from the Salmon Commission and the Dungeness Crab Commission. I talked with Nick Furman, who's the head of the Dungeness Crab Commission this morning. He found out about it Friday and hasn't even really had a chance to study the issue. I've talked with the head of the Salmon Commission. He wasn't even aware of it. It's something that's cropped up very, very quickly, that the one thing I would like to see injected into this, and I'm not taking really a serious pro or con position. I have real reservations being a salmon troller paying for a buyback of groundfish boats, because I think, you know, I really question that we have any financial involvement in it. But at the same time, my biggest point that I'd like to make to you, it's really something that needs to be addressed to some of the heads of the industry and thought out by the people who would be impacted on the financial side by this. I think probably the best comment I heard about it this morning came out of the Coos Bay area and talking with a fellow down there, and he said, you know, I run a little mom and pop business. I'm a troller, a crabber. And he said, you know, I've driven an old beat up used pickup for years and live in a small house, and a lot of these fellows bought $450,000, $500,000 houses, and in the good years they drove brand new pickups every year. And now they're coming to me asking me for a chunk of my income to help soften their impact. And he really wasn't pleased about it. I do think to effectively craft a bill of this point, and we all understand in the industry the need for a buyout system. There is not a question of that in our mind, and that we're not debating. But the one thing I would ask for is that the industry as a whole, if we're going to put together a buyout program, that not just one segment of the industry, but all of it, if it's going to financially impact us, have some input to it.
Questions or comments? Thank you very much. Next on the sign-up sheet is Kay Brown from ODFW.
I knew it had to be something like that.
I would say what?
I just had to find out what groundfish was.
Good afternoon,
walk
on the ground.
Ready to vote, are you?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
It has nothing to do with ground beef.
It was funny because she's, you got to excuse me a minute. She says, I know what ground beef is. What's ground fish?
It was a show. I will have you know that I was a certified fisheries biologist at one time. It was a joke. It was a bad joke, but it was a joke.
This will be a very enriching experience.
For us.
Please proceed, Ms. Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Department of Fish and Wildlife supports House Bill 2862, although we're not aware of the amendment, so this is something new for us, too. But the bill, as has been talked about before, anticipates an expected action by the federal government to purchase federal groundfish limited entry permits and vessels from fishermen. So it's not a law. It's although it's anticipated, we don't know exactly what the details will be. But in our mind, what this bill does is create a dedicated fund that would collect fees from persons holding limited entry permits in the three other ocean fisheries, other money appropriated by the legislature, and any gifts, grants, or donations. In other words, it creates a pot of dollars or a place to put the dollars. And for that reason, we thought that it would be appropriate to establish that as we move into this expected action by the federal government. We support any measure that provides meaningful relief for commercial fisheries communities hit hard by large reductions in the groundfish fleet. So we believe, as I said, the bill creates a mechanism for achieving that goal. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Chair, I do have a question.
Senator Dukes.
2862 is drafted as though we expect to have to reimburse the federal government for any money they put into buybacks. Is that your understanding of the current discussion in D.C.?
We're not sure exactly where it will go, as with any federal law or any state law for that matter. There's always twists and turns, but our understanding, primarily from people like Terry Thompson, is that that's the direction that it's going. Don't know exactly what that would do and whether or not that will require reimbursement. It may be some sort of dollars to the states. In which case, you would then have that fund available to work with.
I'd like to think that we wouldn't collect the money unless we were certain we had to buy them back or pay them back. Have you ever heard of a buyback that the federal government has been involved in that's required that they be repaid?
I'm not familiar with any like that.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson.
The proposal on the board is that we repay 50%. And without some form of repayment, I'm not sure the federal money will come. But that has been, with the buyback programs they've done back east, it seems like that's the standard they're moving to, is that the fishery has to pay a proportion of the money, because we do become the beneficiary, those of us that stay in the fishery, of the reduction of the number of vessels.
Can I ask a question?
But then it would only make sense that the ground fisherers.
Actually, the other fisheries become a beneficiary, too. If you have a 200-boat shrimp fleet and you reduce that fleet by 41 vessels and there's only 160 vessels left, you become a beneficiary. Not in the same proportion, though, with groundfish fishery. There's a direct relationship in groundfish fishery, which Senator Farioli touched on, because we are at a cap and we have most every vessel is catching its limits now. If we reduce vessels, then the other vessels' limits go up. In the traditional Oregon fisheries, we don't have caps. We go more by the biological abundance available, such as in shrimp and crab.
Yeah, the others benefit, but only if you buy up all of the permits of the original.
Terry, is there a provision in the bill to only start the paybacks from the industry if the money is received from the federal government?
Nothing happens unless the federal government sends the money down, and then it has to go to the commission, and the commission will get a chance then to put the sideboards and relook at the issue. I think that's one of the things that the fishermen didn't realize, and I sympathize with their situation because literally there's only a handful of people, and I believe National Marine Fisheries Service would be the group. They've been working on this a year, and you just got the numbers here today. And so the fishermen have had a black hole that this has been going into. One of the things, though, because I know the legislative process and why I put the bill in, was to make sure that we didn't get left out, because if you don't get a bill in the system, we wouldn't even have the ability to hear that bill today when this information came available.
So the when the commission moves to establish the fee levels, well, that will be a public process with hearings, and it'll be advertised, and hearings will be held in the areas that'll be affected.
Chair Morgan, it would be an administrative rule process, just like any of other regulations that the commission adopts, so there would be a public hearing, yes.
One thing I want to say in defense of the Newport fishermen, they're not a member of an association, which makes it very difficult. Several fishermen up and down the coast, they stay fiercely independent. I, myself, being one of those, but my own boats have me here to lobby for them. But many fishermen, you can't contact through an association. So it makes it difficult when they say they've actually, this bill has been in the process since January. They just haven't become aware of it until it made the coffee shop scene.
Representative Lowe.
Thank you. Terry, this buyback program, if a fisherman enters into it, is it with the expectation that it's a limited duration, could it be permanent with some component that involves vocational relocation or rehabilitation?
As it is proposed here, in which I think will be there's a 20 and a 30-year program laid out, and it talks in the back of a repayment of 8%. If you look at the numbers, I think it's on the last page of that booklet. If you look at that, its termination will come to an end there of that period when it's paid off. It's, I think, the very last page. Also, if you look on the far side, there's some numbers there which tell you the percentage of the capital for each state. And that's one of the reasons the fishermen would like to have some parameters laid around. But if you look at each state has a different amount, and each fishery has a different amount to repay to buy out those licenses in that proposal. Now, that could be altered when it went before the rules of the commission, of course.
Madam Chair. Senator Dukes.
I have the same frustration I had down in San Diego. This is one proposal from one group, and you're presenting it at the moment as though this is the proposal that ODFW would implement. I need that shake of the head from her. I only buy about half of this proposal, and I question the folks, as did Representative Krieger, and talk to them about it, and I think it has some serious flaws. And I would like to believe that if this whole thing moves forward, that it is. We know it's possible to get a collaborative effort out of fishermen. It isn't easy, but we know it's possible. And it's going to mean meetings on the coast. And when you were asking a question, Madam Chair, I can only remember the day we got shortchanged a couple of thousand fish in the commercial fishing allocation, and the meeting was in eastern Oregon. So they don't always come to your backyard when they're talking about your issues. They already have their agenda set up for an entire year, and wherever it falls, it falls. But I want to make sure that when they decide to meet with the fishermen, they do an excellent job, and I just want to make sure that if we go forward with this, that there will not be a proposal already on the table, that we will sit down with the fishermen and work out a proposal. Because these folks have their ideas, and they have them for, in my opinion, some fairly self-serving reasons. And I want Oregon fishermen to be able to put together whatever comes out of it.
Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, we have not been actively involved in the negotiations on this federal legislation. So our role would be to whatever happens in terms of the federal legislation, then coupling that with this bill in terms of identifying how that buyback program would play out. But we certainly don't have any preconceived notions as to what that is. And this document that you have this morning apparently is hot off the press, and we have not even seen it to review it.
Further questions or comments? Cedric. Representative Hayden.
Well, so if the state or the federal government buys out the permits, they buy the boat, and then they can sell the boat in some location, maybe offshore, third world, to recoup some of the money?
There are several options that have been proposed. One of them is literally if some boats will be just cut up for scrap. Some would be turned over for research vessels. My particular one boat, I've got a buyer right now that would buy it for a research vessel. There is a demand for some research vessels. That's only a limited number of vessels. And, of course, there is foreign countries that would be interested in purchasing permits. So all options are available.
Thank you.
Representative Hayden, follow-up.
Well, this is new to me. I had not followed this bill since January. I never heard of this bill till 20 minutes ago, so it'll take me a while to internalize it. But I come back to at first blush, it seems like a Measure 7 taking. Here are some people that have the right to do some fishing, and the government's really going to take that away from them. They're going to say, you can't do that anymore. Sounds like a taking to me, and it may be then addressing this independently. It should be a part of the Measure 7 package that is being debated now, and that may be funded. We don't know exactly how the compensation under Measure 7 will be funded. It may be with surplus state lands or some other. If we could get federal dollars to do it, that would be wonderful, but I think that's unlikely. But I'm not sure we're riding the right horse here.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, I'm not real familiar with Measure 7 and how that will all play out either, but generally buyback programs through the federal government are voluntary. The fishermen have a choice as to whether or not they want to have their permits and their vessels purchased. So I don't believe it's the same as a Measure 7 taking.
Madam Chair, well, my very limited understanding, and I don't represent a coastal district, I represent a timber district, which has some relationship to fisheries. But my understanding is that somebody sets quotas and they say how much you can harvest. They can't go down there willy-nilly and get all they can catch.
Another consideration here, Representative Hayden, might also be that Measure 7 applied to regulations that the state initiated, and these regulations are being initiated under federal Endangered Species Act issues, and so I'm not certain that they would be under the jurisdiction of something that looked like Measure 7.
Well, I'll think that's good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
One point of clarification. The groundfish part of this is a federal license. State licenses are crab, shrimp, and the ones that the other gentlemen are talking about. The groundfish is a federal license and a federal buyback. It's a totally federal fishery, federalized fishery.
Are there any more questions or comments? Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, if this would be the appropriate time, I would...
Well, we need to go into work session.
Okay.
So.
Then it's not the appropriate time?
No.
One last comment. I appreciate the amount of time you've spent more time on this committee than anybody has in the previous fisheries looking at buyback.
I can't resist. May I?
If it's quick.
The good former representative can sit there and talk, or he can sit there and listen while we move the bill. And I just couldn't resist that.
This completes the people that I have signed up on my witness registration form, but is there anyone else that's here today that wishes to give testimony on this bill? If there is, if they would come forward. Seeing no one coming forward, I will close the public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 2862. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2862 be sent to the full committee without recommendation as to passage, and the bill be re-referred to the House Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery.
There is a motion on the table. Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Dukes.
couldn't it come out with a do not pass? I mean, is there any chance this little sucker could just sort of slip out?
Not in mice grip.
I mean, I forgot we had to send it through the full committee.
We have no jurisdiction to do a lateral without an up and an over. Is there any further discussion? Any objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion passes. Do you have any further announcements, Mr. Rocco?
Regarding this item, but tomorrow's agenda will be work session, public hearing and work session on the Division of State Lands budget.
Eric,
at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
So be sure that you've allocated a be here or be in serious trouble entry on your schedules for 1 to 3 o'clock tomorrow. And having no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.